and you will be paid. And like I say, you're not gonna like the payment that you get, but you will be paid, because I want to tell you something. God said he's not mocked. Whatsoever a man sow, he said you're gonna reap it. Whatsoever a man sow, you're gonna have to reap. And the son of God, if he has to obey the purpose of God, I'm just continuing to talk to you a little bit. If the Son of God, if he had to obey the purpose of God, and he had to do the things, carry out the plans and the will that God has set forth for us, what do you think about?
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger,
but
on a tree.
You died to save man, the
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The Gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Proverbs 31 and 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in the presence of God. This word today is a very familiar word in its structure, but maybe not so much in its understanding. When we think of the Proverbs 31 woman, she is literally a super woman. She is a woman who does multitasking like nobody else. She has a list of things that she accomplishes both daily and continually, both personally and in business. She is a phenomenal woman. And I dare say, my brothers and sisters, while we look at this Proverbs 31 woman, there are very few women that we literally can point out and say, this is a Proverbs 31 woman according to Scripture. And there is a reason for that. No indictment against the mothers or the women of our time. And I want to help you understand why. Because when a woman is compared to the Proverbs 31 woman by a man, then you tell him he needs to be a Proverbs 31 man. Because you need to know that very little is said about the man in this description, because of all of the perfect choices he has made thus far, and because she's honoring this man, because he's worthy of being honored. He has a place in the community. He has a place in social and in public life that is elevated. He is a deserving man of a Proverbs 31 woman. So if that man isn't all of that, tell him raise his standards before he has the right to ask you to be what he doesn't deserve. Amen. I didn't think I'd get many amens from the men, but I thought I'd get more from the sisters there. Of course, you might have already made that mistake, and you can't say nothing but you're unting underneath your skin. But listen, let me help you understand something. The Proverbs 31 woman is a virtual woman. Well, the Bible says, Pastor, a virtuous woman, yes. The Proverbs 31 woman is virtuous to the extreme. Many women later down have done excellently, the Bible says. But thou excellest them all. But what does that mean? That means many of them have the characteristics of a virtuous woman, but they don't have them all. The virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 had them all. She was total. She was complete. She was perfect. And so when you think about this word virtuous, in this context, it means strong woman, strong in mind, strong in emotions, and even strong in the physical sense. She was a complete package, total, in and out. If you look down, take the time to read through these other 21 verses after 10, you're going to discover she needed some strength from herself and from others to fulfill everything that she had to do on a daily basis. And very few of us can brag that we have that kind of energy and kind of strength. Remember again, this is a perfect woman. A perfect woman. Now, the first problem we have is that none of us are perfect. So what does that mean? That none could ever achieve the virtuous woman status in its entirety. Does it mean they cannot be a virtuous woman? No, it does not mean that. But does it mean then that they cannot be the Proverbs 31 virtuous woman? Yes, that's right. They cannot be that, because the Proverbs 31 woman was not a real woman. She was a virtual woman. How many of you heard of virtual reality? Virtual reality is when they go on a computer or in the mind or some imaginary way, they write up, they draw up, they imagine a perfect situation. And in that perfect situation, it becomes a virtual reality in that stead or in that arena. But the truth of the matter is that virtual reality could never be a real reality, because in the virtual reality, everything is perfect. So understand this. When King Lemuel's mother taught him this poem, and this from Proverbs 31 and 10 all the way through the 31st verse represents 22 verses, and these 22 verses actually represent a poem. It was a poem that all pious Jews, especially the mothers, would teach their sons and their daughters, especially those of the Socratic nation, venue, those who were of the royal nation, those who were kingly. This was a didactic teaching. It was designed to be a moral high compass for the sons and the daughters. Why? Because one, it was taught to King Lemuel by his mother so that he would be able to pick the right woman. He was given a set of guidelines and said, now that you have these guidelines, you try and find a woman who can meet as many of these as you can. You want a virtuous woman. So being a virtuous woman doesn't mean that it is complete and perfect. It means that she has virtuousness in her. And so if you have something to go by, then you can check off the list what this woman has as a virtuous woman. And the one who has the most of these is the most virtuous woman that you can marry. Secondly, she taught it to her daughters because she wanted her daughters to live up to become a virtuous woman, that kings and princesses would desire her above all other women because of her state of virtuousness. And so it was really an imaginary woman who had the best of all things. And so being that imaginary woman, she was the apex. She was the summit of what a woman could be. She was the high ground, the standard, the bar lifted as high as it could be lifted for some woman to reach for. And my brothers and sisters, when you understand it in that context, you'll recognize that that virtual woman was virtual in the real virtuous woman. It was in the mind. So now, let's look at the reality. Well, no woman is a total and complete virtuous woman. But then what does make her virtuous? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you take the time, go through the rest of the 21 verses from the 10th verse, total 22. As was stated, this is an acrostic poem. It literally means that it's taken from the Hebrew alphabet. Every verse starts off with the next letter in line of the Hebrew alphabet. And so by the time you get through verse 10 through 31, you have gone through the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, unlike the English alphabet that has 26 characters. It's important to recognize that this is a poem to inspire and equip us to be and to become our best. Let me just pull out three things for the time of safe. About the virtuous woman. One, she is a champion of causes. There are many women in our day and times today who are champion of causes. She's a woman with understanding. She's a woman with love. She's a woman with compassion. She's a woman who is diligent. She's a woman that desires not only her family to be well, but those around her to be well. She's a woman who's concerned not just about the good of her own family, but the good of the community and the nation at large, if you will. She is a woman whose concerns are greater than herself. She's a woman who involves herself in movements to make things better, people better, places better, situations better. She is a woman who involves herself in community service, involves herself in community dealings. She gives her expertise, her knowledge, her service, her time in other places other than just her own house. She stretches herself to be a part of as much as she can be without ruining the reputation of taking care of her own family. She is a woman who is on a mission. And so because she is a champion of causes, you'll note that many people know her in the box, in the home territory on the block. Many people know her in the churches. Many people know her in social standards and structures because she's always involving herself. If there is a need, she doesn't usually have to ask. She's usually one asking, can you help out? Can you participate? Can you do this? We're trying to do this to make this better. She is a champion of causes. And my brothers and sisters, we have women like that today who champion many causes in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our churches, in our communities, and many other venues. Why? Because of the heart that they have within them. God speaks through them and uses them as a mouthpiece to spread not only his good news, but his good will. We have virtual women who deal and who delve in this kind of reality in today's time. You might be sitting next to one like that. You might be in fellowship with one like that. But I've got news for you. God has women like that today. Secondly, I want to share about the fact that they are caring in their correction. They're caring women in their correction. They're just not mean, but they have a sense of discipline and correction because they know to spare the rod spoils the child. They understand that however discipline comes, whether it is a child who understands time out or if it's a child who she has to take time out to show them a different way, however it comes, she knows the end result is them understanding that there is a right way and a wrong way, a good way and a bad way, a just way and an unjust way. And the mother who understands that does not cover her child in wrongdoing, but she wants to let them know that she will stand with them and by them through no matter what. But there is an expectation that they are going to be and do the right thing. And so mothers have a unique and unusual way of speaking to and dealing with and disciplining the child, far different from daddies. In most families, the disciplinarian is mother. Mother has become so, great at this field of disciplining. She can discipline just with her eyes. She can discipline sometimes with her lips. You know what that means. She can discipline in ways that are coded and encrypted to that child. They can be in the midst of 100 folk and they don't know what's going on. But when that child sees that mother, they know what that means. It's amazing, though, because mothers still, in the midst of knowing how to correct, they have a way of correcting with care. There was a little boy whose mother had passed, and one day he had come home from school. His father was reading the paper, and the little boy came home, and he had a Band-Aid over his eye. His eye was a little puffy. His cheek was blushed red, and he had a very despondent look upon his face. And he went to his father. His father looked at him and put the paper down and said, "What happened to you?" And the little boy said, "I got in a fight, Dad." He said, What did you get in the fight for? He said, because I was trying to tell some boys doing the wrong thing that they were wrong. And the father then commenced to telling him all of the things he did wrong and how sometimes you need to mind your own business. And the little boy walked out the room, and tears had filled his eyes. And his sister came in the room, and he told his sister what had happened. And the first thing he said was, "I miss Mama." And she said, "Why?" He said, "Because the first thing Mama would have done is hugged me. And if there was a need to correct me any further, she would have done that after she showed me she loved me." And daddies don't always have that softer side. Sometimes they're strictly business, this, that, and the other. I want to make you a man. I want to make you this, that, and the other. But in the midst of that, we've got to learn that correction must come with care. You can tell a child anything if you show them that you care when you tell it to them. How important mothers have figured this out, and how many times they have to beat you down. But when they get through beating you down, they're going to love you up. Not to diminish anything that they've said. They're going to reiterate. Now, you know why I beat you, don't you? I've told you time and time again, and I told you I didn't want to have to tell you another time. So you're going to listen next time, aren't you? And they sitting in Mama's arms, you know, might eat up eating a piece of candy or something, might have had their favorite lunch prepared, breakfast, and whatever. But they knew Mama loved them, because she knew how to minister to them in a way that loving care was not forgotten. And then the third thing I want to bring out about a virtuous woman, not only do we find in the text, but we find in the reality today, is that a virtuous mother knows how, excuse me, how to care compassionately. She knows how to care compassionately. Why is this important as well? Because in her caring, it's really counseling. She knows how to counsel compassionately. And with that, it's a great deal of caring. Caring how it comes out. Caring that that child understand. Caring that that child is going to be better because she's taken the time to explain how this makes a difference in doing it this way versus the way the child has done it. So her counseling is with compassion. So many times I've seen parents counsel without compassion. Can I tell you, compassion opens up the ear waves so that child can truly hear what you're saying. When you counsel that child with the compassion that God counsels his children with. Yes, sometimes he has to be strong. Yes, sometimes he has to be firm. But it's never without the knowledge that he cares, that he's compassionate, that he loves us. And there are mothers today I've seen with that counseling, compassionate spirit who makes me feel good that that child hears and will heed that kind of compassionate counseling and will make a difference in their lives. Some of us have had mothers who were counselors who were compassionate. Some of us who have had mothers who were counselors who were not compassionate. And one of the things that stuck and resonated with those of us who've had mothers who were counselors with compassion was the fact that we knew they meant the best. And while we may not have always wanted to succumb to the counseling, we understood that somewhere in her look, in her voice, in her handling of us, that counseling came out of a place of, I want you to be a better person. I want you to achieve greater things. I've sacrificed and I'm sacrificing so you can be better than this. I'm rearing you to be the best that you can be, to reach higher than you are reaching, to grow stronger than you have been, to show and to demonstrate that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is greatness in you. One of my favorite movies is Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump's mother was the epitome of a counseling woman with compassion. Forrest was not all there. Listen, but his mother was. Somebody missed that. I said Forrest was not all there, but his mother was. And there were questions Forrest had for his mother that Forrest couldn't get a good answer from nobody but his mother. And, you know, when children call Forrest stupid, Forrest went to his mother and shared his concerns. And, you know, she made it clear and very simple to Forrest, stupid is what stupid does. You're not stupid, Forrest. Now, all of us who claim to have sense have done some stupid things, but we're not stupid. I wish I had a helper in the house. She taught Forrest so many compassionate lessons through counseling him out of love. She made so many sacrifices so Forrest would have as much of a chance to have an average to normal upbringing as she could possibly get for Forrest. She had to reset the table so Forrest could get some advantage the other kids couldn't get. But that was a mother doing what she had to do for her child, because there was no father in the picture. There was no uncles, no brothers, nobody else. She had to do it all by herself. But how many of you know that even with Forrest not being there, when Forrest grew up and he learned and he put all of those things in practice, Forrest became a major man that only a mother's love could have counseled into that kind of creation. My brothers and sisters, don't look at a mother's role as a light role. Mothers, don't look at your children as what you've been handled or handed as all that you have. God handed you your children in whatever stage he's given you that child so that you can develop and bring out the best in that child. God has given you a precious life that he wants you to mold and to mend and to make into the best that that child can become. Sometimes God gives you raw elements to see how you can create something beautiful with. And mothers have learned that skill. I was a young girl, and I'm closing. She had come to her mother, and she was a teenage girl in school, and she was learning that there were groups of girls who meant good, girls that meant bad, and they strayed from the teachings of what she had known.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do